This morning on K1 by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by Tallgrass Motors.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 Community Connection this morning. And every once in a while, I get the opportunity to talk with author Walt Brinker. He has a guide to roadside survival and things that you can do to avoid having to pull that car over for some emergency along the roadway. But as kind of living his own near emergency, Walt is in North Carolina near the Cape Fear River. And first of all, thanks for joining me by telephone, Walt. And I understand the Cape Fear River expected to crest at record levels tomorrow morning.
That's right. That's going to be a big deal here. It'll be way over record levels, and they had a lot of rainfall locally here, which just ended last night, and we may still get a little bit more today. But a lot of the runoff from farther north in the state of North Carolina is going to feed down into the Cape Fear River, which goes right past Fayetteville. And that's about 5 miles from where I live.
Well, I know that you and I normally talk roadside survival and having your own car prepared for whatever may happen along the way of life's highway, so to speak. But I'm glad that you are safe and well. And certainly, I'm not trying to minimize what happened to the Carolinas or the Eastern Seaboard, but earlier forecasts had it so much worse. So I'll be thankful for small favors here.
Oh, yes. It could have been so much worse. My house had no damage to it. My yard looks like a bomb went off outside because there's tree debris every place, and it's full of water. But, you know, I have no real, and my power was off for 2.5 days, but those are very minor things. So I feel very lucky. It could have come as a Category 3, and that would have really done the job on us.
It sure would.
A lot of trees would have blown over and probably on my house. Unlucky.
Well, Oklahoma is no stranger to severe weather, so we'll feel for you. And I know I have seen news items of utility companies and other people sending crews off ready to help as they are needed. So I know help is on the way, at least from Oklahoma and this area, to help restore power to you and your neighbors when needed. I had originally wanted to talk about roadside survival, but I think just because your geography puts us in good things. So today, as you look at just home survival, before we get survival on the car, you were without power, so you're understanding how that can affect you at home and having emergency supplies around the home, right?
That's right, and unfortunately, I have yet to install a generator for my house. This convinced me that I need to do that, so I will do that shortly. I'm going to hook up a generator that's going to wire right into my whole house, so I can decide which appliances and which things to get the juice at the time. I probably can't afford a generator big enough to run the entire house with air conditioning and everything else, but I'll figure out a way to do that.
Well, you can
also I anticipated power going out long enough, and so they would not be able to pump water to the water tower, and we would lack tap water. That never happened, but to prevent getting caught short, I filled my bathtub with water so I could use that to flush toilets and to bathe if I had to. Luckily, I never had to use that.
That's for sure.
And I had a charcoal grill, which I used to cook hamburgers and steaks and stuff. And I've got plenty of charcoal in hand. So, I topped off all my cars. I have three cars. Topped them all off before the storm came. So just in case there's no juice to power gas pumps, I can still operate with for some time.
That's
and
great.
I got plenty of food, non-perishable food, so I'm in good shape.
Good. As far as heading out on the roadway, roadway accidents can happen to us at literally no notice, and certainly I know you have come along, folks, where you've been able to render aid and assistance when they needed it, when you were just either driving down the highway or along the streets of your city.
Yes, that's right. Well, I-95 is my standard patrol route. I have about a 27-mile each-way patrol route that I take when I get bored. I get in the car and go out and see what I can find broken down. Normally, I find at least one person. Well, the northern half of that route is now blocked off due to high water, which crosses over I-95.
Wow.
That's pretty serious stuff. And so, I mean, I-95 is blocked off for about 100 miles from where I am north.
But I know...
The patrol south.
That is, yeah, that is it's a definite situation where people are going to be helped. And I know that the calls to evacuate went out early. And in my mind, I'm not sure how to feel about the folks who chose to stay behind. And one thing I can to a certain extent understand it, but on the other hand, it's kind of like, no, you were told to get out of there. I think you really should have got out of there. But. That's
well, and if you live in a place that's flooded before, that should tell you it's going to flood again.
Yeah.
And that's who really the mayor was talking to. He said, really, he said, if you're not out of your house by 3 p.m., don't expect help from us because that endangers too much the first responders. He said, you might as well just make sure that your next of kin know who you are and where you are because it's going to be tough. And that the moment of reckoning is has yet to come. Because the flood is not supposed to hit Crest until tomorrow morning, so we'll see then.
Yeah. Well, you can still pull some of the things that you and I have talked about before from your book, Your Guide to Roadside Survival. And as we get into fall driving season, to me it says almost getting prepared for winter driving season now. As I know the temperatures around here are still in the 80s and 90s, and we've got plenty of time. But, disasters happen, whether it's a flat tire or engine overheating or whatever it might be. We need to be prepared every time we go out on the roadway.
That's right. Well, in this instance, let me drop a kind of a, by the way here, I do have some contact with Oklahoma, some ties to Oklahoma. From 1958 to 1961, my father was in the Army then, and he was stationed at Fort Sill. I went to Lawton High School for 2 years until 61. Then I moved to Virginia. And then in 2014, I had one of my coolest assists out there on the Indian Nation Turnpike south of Tulsa. I was going up to Tulsa to a TV station to a segment up there. And I encountered a lady in with a horse trailer that had a flat tire, and we finally had to take off the fender of the trailer and do a pretty neat job on the thing. But there's a picture I think I sent you some time ago of me. The lady took a picture of me and her daughter, and I didn't know she had a camera until after the fact. She asked us to pose, and there we did. So I'll send you that picture if you don't already have it.
I believe I do, but send me again, please.
I will. Well, you talk about preventing breakdowns. I've had several anecdotal stories I could whip out real quick here, which I think are excellent and really get to the essence of the whole thing. You know, the three quarters of the assists I've done, and I've done well over 2,000 of them, have involved tires. And so tires, statistically, if you take care of the tires in your car and take care of business with the tires, your chances of having a breakdown in the first place are greatly reduced. Let me give you two quick anecdotal stories which illustrate this. I teach a class routinely at the local community college, and about a month ago, I had 9 teenagers in 9 different vehicles, and we go out in the parking lot, and we actually change a tire with their tools on their car, and we found out that all 9 vehicles' lug nuts were on too tight to be loosened with the lug wrench. And so every one of them had to use my cheater bar, which is nothing more than 2-foot-long length of steel pipe that you slide over the end of the lug wrench handle to give you more leverage.
Right.
Well, that was a huge aha moment right there for them. And the second thing was, 8 of the 9 vehicles had flat spare tires. They were flat. They couldn't have been used if they'd had a flat tire.
I ran into that situation when I was in high school too, but that was because my dad had changed the tire and hadn't fixed the flat or hadn't fixed the the spare yet. But that does happen. The spare tire can go flat.
80% of the time, I found the spare tire is flat or too low on air to be usable. And another quickie here is that about a week ago, before the hurricane came here, we had a local heritage day in my hometown of Eastover, and I volunteered to set up a booth outside the gate as folks came into the local ballpark to help to check people's spare tires for air, and if they were low, I'd pump them up. Well, I had 10 takers on that, and of the 10 takers, I will tell you that 100% of them, 10 of them, all 10 of them had flat spare tires.
That does
flat, or 70% of them were totally flat. The other three had a little air in, but not enough to get the job done. So those are two quick examples I can give you of how common a flat spare tire is, and also how common it is that the lug nuts are on too tight to loosen. So if you plan on changing the tire, you need to, and if you have a flat tire, you need to account for both of those. And we can talk about that if you want to.
Well, I think that's a good idea to talk about that because, like you said, that is the most common problem you run into, either for yourself or for folks along the roadway. That doesn't necessarily say good things about whether they've been checking that spare, but then I start saying, well, did you, you know, balance the tires? Did you rotate the tires? And when's the last time you changed the oil?
That's right. Well, all those are important, the oil is the most fundamentally important of all, because your engine will cook if it runs low on oil. It'll just seize up, and you'll have no more engine. And that's a very expensive fix right there. But the spare tire thing is so common. I mean, it is so common. And I can count on it. If I see a person with a change in a tire, even if they have the jack and the lug wrench, all of those stuff works, I just know the spare tire is going to be low, so I'll pull over anyway, and inevitably I'll pump the spare tire up for them as a minimum.
That sounds like a great service that you're offering, just as being a nice person, a good Samaritan driving down the roadway.
Well, it's part of it's the mental therapy for me also. You know, it's therapeutic. It makes my whole day to do that. And you remember the song "Along Came Jones" by the Coasters back in the 50s?
Yes, I do.
You know, there's three verses. Salty Sam is threatening Sweet Sue with death if she won't sign the will to the deed to the ranch over to him. And the three chapters, or the three verses, have different ways he's going to kill her by blowing up with dynamite. By dynamite.
One is tire on the railroad tracks.
Saw, and the other one was tying her to the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
You know, so in every case, it goes, and then he grabbed her. And then he tied her up.
And then
he lit the fuse with the dynamite. And then along came Sean Jones.
Oh, there you go. I like a good song reference on a Monday morning. That's great. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Walt Brinker, author of A Guide to Roadside Survival. We'll continue in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time on a Community Connection on 1400 K1, Walt Brinker calling in this morning from near Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we're talking, I guess, both home preparedness and vehicle preparedness, being ready to assist yourself or someone else as you're traveling down life's roadway. And we were saying the most common problem people run into is tire related, but again if you don't have the good oil in there or good water in the radiator, then other things can, will, and do happen to your vehicle.
And so, yeah, that's right. And some folks say, well, why should I care about your book? Why should I care about taking care of my own car? I'll just call AAA or somebody else like that when my car poops out on the highway.
1-800-AAA help.
Okay. I don't knock those companies. I've seen them in action, and they do good work. The problems are, number one, they're not always timely getting there. That's number one. Number two is, and even more serious, they do good work with their people and their hardware and their stuff inside the perimeter they'll work with around each city. But out between the cities, that's where the problems happen, because they'll sub the work out to other people who are not nearly as good, and they frequently are incompetent. And so that's where I come along, and that's where I've seen many, many times. They say, well, I've got so-and-so insurance or, roadside recovery, and either it's not gotten there yet or it arrived, and the guy didn't know what he was doing.
Well, And I would say that a lot of those problems occur on county roads or other places where you're not even sure how to describe where you are at, particularly if it's not someplace you live. I'm somewhere between city A and B, but I couldn't tell you exactly where I'm at.
That's right. People say, well, I'm approaching also the driver ed community on this thing, and the stress of driver ed is to prevent crashes, pretty much. Not so much in most programs to prevent breaking down. And I say, well, I've done some research on this, and the number of calls for assistance to AAA is about 30 million per year. There were 33 million in 2017, and the NTSH estimated there are about 5.8 million crashes of all types each year. So you do the math, and that's about 5 or 6 to 1 there. Likelihood, but I know that the number of breakdowns by AAA is only about maybe a quarter of the total of the breakdown there. So I figure the real variance is about 20 to 1 chances of having a breakdown versus chances of having a crash. And so that's why I say we need to spend more time in driver ed on preventing and dealing with breakdowns and not ignoring it at the total expense of total focus on crashes.
Absolutely. Cars are a lot more dependable than they were when I was taking driver's ed decades ago, but I know that my folks wouldn't let me drive the car out of town until I had shown them that I could change a tire by actually changing a tire. So that's
right. Well, that's a great way to be. I mean, you're just out of luck out there if your tire goes flat. I've had a couple of blowouts myself, and my biggest angst was getting all the gear out of my trunk that I usually have back there to help other people to get to my spare tire. But luckily, I had a spare tire, and I maintain. The age of the tire is huge, also. That's one that we haven't talked about that today yet. Usually the oldest tire in the car is a spare tire.
Sure.
You look at the DOT number on the sidewall of the tire, and the last cluster of numbers tell you when the tire was made. If there are four numbers, that means it was made since 2000. If there are three numbers in that last cluster, it was made before 2000, which means it's definitely much too old to be driving. And the number of years before the tire needs to go is about 6 years.
So, Walt,
whether it's been used or not,
this
six
is
years. Age alone will get you with tires.
Absolutely. So if the tire has aged out, it needs to be replaced almost immediately, right?
That's right. And I've had two of my cars have donut spare tires, which I don't like, but that's what they have. I have actually changed them out. I've replaced the donuts in them, so they're not old donut spare tires. And I was lucky that I've had to help myself a couple of times with my spare tire, and I did not have an old spare tire, so I had made my own good luck there.
I referred to your book a couple of times, and I want to make sure people get the correct title of that and know how to give it, because I think it would be a great gift to any new driver or a student taking driver's ed right now.
The title of this is Roadside Survival, and the subtitle is Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns. And I have a website, roadsidesurvival.com, where you can go and there's a wealth of information there that tells you how you can get the book if you're interested. And there's a page there on driver's ed. There's a page there on law enforcement. And that's a whole other thing we could talk about sometime. There's a page there on segments I've done on TV and radio about this. There's all kinds of super links there. It's really a great site.
Well, DeWalt, thank you so much for your time this morning and willingness on this morning where you still have a river that is expected to flood tomorrow. So, again, Walt Brinker, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Charlie. Anytime. You know that.
Yeah, we got it. That's a community connection this morning on 1400 K1.
Going in news, I'm Sean Carey. Classes are set to resume today in Kansas, Oklahoma, after school was canceled last week following what turned out to be a bogus threat of a school.